From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Wit here. July 24th. Seven pieces of comedy from the open web. Let's see what stuck. Let's get into it. First, from the hard times. Metallica finally tracked down and sue the bootlegger who sold Beavis his shirt. Los Angeles, heavy metal band. Metallica proudly announced that they have finally tracked down and sued the bootlegger who sold Beavis from Beavis and Butthead his signature blue shirt, disgusted sources report. It took over three decades, but we finally found the bastard, said drummer Lars Ulrich. I can't tell you how much of a relief it was for me after all those years of seeing Beavis wearing a shirt I knew he did not obtain through legitimate means. Next. Second, from The Onion. Mamdani urges feds to arrest Netanyahu. New York City. Mayor Zoran Mamdani called on the federal government to execute the International Criminal Court's arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu while he attends the UN General Assembly, claiming that New York City did not have the legal authority. Up next. Third, from The Onion. Tips for karaoke. Whether you're out on the town or throwing a cozy event at home, karaoke can be a fun and cathartic group activity. The Onion shares tips for your next karaoke night. Hold the microphone 1 to 2 inches into your mouth. Pick a crowd-pleasing oldie that everyone knows, like Greensleeves or Froggy Went A-Courtin'. And then, fourth, from The Onion, best-selling beach reads. The post best-selling beach reads appeared first on The Onion. Next, fifth, from The Onion. 1 week sober man thought all problems would be fixed by now. Charlotte, NC, admitting he was baffled that the 7 days without whiskey hadn't already made him a high-functioning member of society, local one-week sober man, Trent Ross, told reporters Friday he thought all his problems would have been fixed by now. It's been 7 days since I had a drink, but I still haven't gotten a job, started a family, and completely turned my life around, said Ross, who questioned why he continued to have brain fog and shaking fits when he hadn't touched a bottle of liquor since last Friday. I just don't get it. Up next, sixth, from The Onion. Tourist disappointed to leave Scotland without seeing single fat bastard. Edinburgh, Scotland, sighing as he prepared to board a bus to the airport for his return flight home, American tourist Ben Frax reported feeling disappointed Friday to be leaving Scotland without having seen a single fat bastard. I can't believe I didn't spot one fat bastard the whole time I was here, said Frax, who claimed to have brought binoculars, a telephoto lens, and other specialized gear in hopes of snagging a picture of the Scottish legend known for its gargantuan size, crude manners, and storied flatulence. And then, seventh, from McSweeney's Internet Tendency. FAQ, potato salad. The FAQ opens with a tongue-in-cheek ingredient list that starts normal. Potatoes, mayo, paprika, celery, onion, eggs, then spirals into the absurd. Ants, a dog hair, a fingernail, cigarette ash, pool water, microplastics, even a solitary dead bee. The point isn't the list itself, but the way it exposes how a simple side dish becomes a repository for everything we're reluctant to name. The second answer turns the salad into a cultural artifact. It argues that for generations, women were handed three acceptable creative outlets: curtains, casseroles, and the famous potato salad. So the dish became a silent battlefield for identity, ambition, and the patriarchy that redirected architectural dreams into mayonnaise. The writer uses Brenda's obsessive celery-to-egg ratio as a stand-in for the fierce need to leave a mark. The biggest mistake answer flips the focus from the food to family dynamics, suggesting the salad is a proxy for inherited grievances, power plays, and even romantic entanglements. It's less about potatoes and more about the relational baggage we carry into the bowl. Finally, the piece drifts into a mock conspiracy about paprika, hinting at a Hungarian red dust industry that launders flavor into garnish. The underlying joke is that the minutiae of spice choices mask larger, unspoken power structures, and that any debate, mayo versus mustard, serves as a diversion from the real drama simmering beneath the plastic bowl. That's the seven. The joke is, you came back, same time tomorrow, new here? Grab your own free feed at storyflow.com. It only takes a few seconds.